So how's everybody doing? Better to be inside than outside. You're doing. Well, this morning, actually I got a fair amount of material again. I got lucky. I got John Mark. So there's some information on him. Later on, I think my next, no, two away is Demas. And I'll tell you, there's a dearth of information about Demas. So that could be an interesting class. But this one's about John Mark, and we'll get into studying him. He's mentioned a few times, and it's usually in association with the apostles, two apostles specifically. So that's what we're going to go through. I'm going to start out in Acts, which makes sense, and I'm kind of pulled in some of what was before the meeting with John Mark in order to get context so you kind of know where it's coming from. This is in Acts where Peter has been imprisoned. He's been thrown in jail, and he's pretty well locked up. I mean, he's behind the bars, which there's now a ring of soldiers, and there's another ring of soldiers, so it's pretty strongly locked up. So let me go through this. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When he had passed the first and second guard, they came to an iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. The reason Peter is spending the night in jail is because the Passover hasn't finished. Otherwise, he'd be dead. So as soon as Passover is over, the king intends to kill him. So that's the situation Peter was in. Where is this? Where does this occur? And don't say in prison. I know that. What city? Jerusalem. I have to read Wanda's lips because she never said it loud enough for me to hear. Yeah, it's in Jerusalem. Why was he put in jail? Preaching Jesus, what'd you say?
He was telling everybody about Christ.
Telling everybody about Christ. Okay. The reason he was put in jail, but the king wanted to gain favor with the Jews. Okay. Remember, Jerusalem, all of Judea, is a Roman province, and it's a powder keg, right? So anything he can do to gain favor with the Jews and keep things quiet, he's going to do. So that's part of it. If you'd have been in prison, you knew, I'm going to be killed as soon as whatever feast is over, and you were taken out miraculously, where would you go? What kind of a place would you go to as soon as you got out?
Well, you'd go to something you were familiar with, right?
Something you're familiar, huh?
Said I would leave the area.
You'd leave the whole area, okay. But that home, what would be the first home you'd go to, or the first building you would go to, structure?
Church.
Family?
Family, I would think.
Okay. Close friend? Somewhere you thought would be safe, that you knew would be safe, okay? You knew who would be there. Would be the kind of situation to be looking for.
Well, in this situation, you can't trust anybody except for the people you do know really good.
Yeah. I mean, Jerusalem is mostly Jewish at this time.
Well, they're two-faced. They'll turn you in just for a dollar.
Well, they'll turn you in for anything if they're against you. If they're a Christian, they've been converted, They're going to suffer along with you. Okay, so he's going to go somewhere very close to him that he knows he can trust. That's where I would go. So those that are closest to you. And that's kind of important for the next part. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who is also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. So that's his safe house where he went to. So whose home? To Mary's and John Mark's. And what were they doing?
Praying.
They were praying for
him.
It's kind of an interesting response. They're praying for Peter's release, okay? Not to be killed, because from what it looked like, he was going to be killed. What do you think they were specifically praying for?
His safety, probably.
Hmm?
His safety, because before that, they had killed John.
Yeah, they had killed John, yeah. But what were they praying specifically for, do you think?
Peter's
life. Huh?
For Peter's safety.
For Peter's life, yeah. They were praying for Peter's life, but do you think they were praying just, "Lord, just save him," or maybe how to save him? Okay.
I suspect also they were praying that he would be able to continue his work.
To continue his work? I kind of got the impression maybe they were looking for a commutation of their sentence.
An answer to their prayer.
Maybe a more conventional release? Maybe not. We don't know. They didn't say what they were praying for. Just said they were praying for Peter. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of the joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You're out of your mind," but she kept insisting that was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. Was that an answer to their prayer?
Well, you got to remember, he didn't even believe it at first. He thought he was having a vision.
Was that an answer to their prayer?
Probably so.
Yeah, okay. But he thought it was a vision. Did that seem to even remotely enter their mind?
Well, you don't expect it to happen like that. You know, the change just fell off.
No. You're right. No, they didn't expect it, but no, that didn't even remotely enter their mind something like that would happen, because he told her she was crazy. He can't be at the door. Let's get back to praying.
It was too easy.
Although they were praying, they were amazed at the prayer was answered.
They were amazed. They were amazed. To me, if indeed my impression is right, and it could be wrong, is that they prayed specifically. Isn't that kind of a trap?
Assume we put God in the box and we expect him to act the way we want him to.
That's yeah. Pray what you want done, not how you want it done. How many times do we pray how we want it done?
Let me tell you a story.
Okay.
It's coming from Jacksonville one evening. I'm off later about St. Augustine. So I was headed home, it was getting dark. Haven't run my lights, of course, never run the battery yet. So I just kept praying over and over, "Lord, let me get to 92, because I knew 92 there was an auto store there. And so I kept going, kept getting darker and darker, better getting weaker and weaker, and I'm praying, let me get to 92. Tell them wherever I wanted to go. When I cut the interstate, car was skipping, and when I got to 92, the car was skipping. I got a little coming off the interstate just as I hit 92, so I was still 3 miles from it.
In the auto parts place. Yeah. Yeah. You went into the how, okay? And and Clayton kind of, you had the same verbiage that entered my mind, is don't put God in a box on how he's going to do it. Just say, God, I want this to be done. And let him work it how he wants to work it, instead of we want to work it. And I think that was a little bit of what was going on, because they were flabbergasted, okay? They were amazed when he was actually there, because it can't be. You know, things don't work that way. Well, with God, they work all kinds of ways. So, just a cautionary note. So, continuing in Acts chapter 12, I'm just going into a little bit more with Herod. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards and ordered they be led away to execution. Then he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now he was very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. And with one accord they came to him, and having won over Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they were asking for peace, because their country was fed by the king's country. On an appointed day, Herod, putting on his royal power, took a seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to them. The people immediately crying out, "The voice of a god, not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. What Herod is this? You're telling, you can tell, with John Mark, there's not a lot of information, so I'm filling in between. Which one?
This is the same Herod that killed the kids 2 years and under, right?
No, this is probably 35, 40 years later. So that you're talking about Herod the Great.
Okay. So this is his son?
Grandson, actually, but.
Grandson?
Yeah. It's Herod Agrippa the First. He was the king of Judea. So that kind of puts a context where all this is going on. Just a little background on Herod Agrippa. He was schooled in Rome. Herod the Great basically killed his son, and this is his grandson. And so he schooled him in Rome. He had peers who were Romans. He thinks like a Roman. He's very focused at the Romans and keeping peace and doing those things that keep his people safe and keep things looking good with Rome. That's the kind of a king he is.
Well, you can see that when he comes out and talks, they're like, it's the voice of a god, not a man.
Yeah, that's one piece that I want to touch on. What kind of a king was he? What kind of a person was he?
Well, they thought he was a god, but some people probably thought he was a god. But apparently he was not, because he was struck down.
Well, when they called him a god, okay, he's the king of the Jews. He knows about the God of heaven, right? What should he have done when they called him a god?
He
should have shook his head and said, no. Okay. But he had been schooled in an environment in Rome where men were gods. So there's an arrogance there. There's another piece that I had. Huh?
He said he was full of himself.
He was full of himself. To me, he's ruthless. Look at the first sentence.
Well, he killed the guards.
Talked to the guards, you let them go, and they said, we don't know what happened. I'm like that. He said, go kill him. So he was definitely an evil person. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. So Jerusalem, now that Agrippa is dead, is underneath, well, it always been underneath the control of the governor, but they usually work through the king. Now it's under the direct control of the governor again as a province. And what do the Romans care about? Peace and money. You pay your taxes, you don't cause insurrection, do whatever else you want to do. Okay, so the threat of Agrippa in Jerusalem is gone. So the church is growing. It was growing then, but now it can grow more openly. Because like I said, the Romans really don't care. How early is this in the partnering of Barnabas and Saul, and there's a clue in the way it's written. Very early. Because Barnabas' name is first. You'll notice in Acts, in the beginning, it starts out Barnabas and Saul. And by the time you get to the second missionary journey, it's Saul and Barnabas.
Paul and Barnabas.
Paul and Barnabas, yeah. And what happened that allowed the word to grow? I just kind of talked about that. The blessings of God and the elimination of Herod. So who's the only person they pick up in Jerusalem to take with them?
John Mark.
Only one person. So, and the church was meeting at their house to pray. That's where Peter went. So you kind of see there's a lot of focus there. Now, John Mark, is he a young man or an older?
He's
a young kid.
He's the son of Mary, right?
He's the son of Mary. Yeah, he's not a grown person. Maybe 18, 19, somewhere in that. Maybe even younger. From a Jewish standpoint, he's a man, but he still would be a very, very young man. He could be as young as 17 or 18. So he's very young at this particular time. Now jumping over to 13. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. But John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." So this is in the beginning. Where did John Mark go?
He went back to Jerusalem.
He went back to Jerusalem. Okay, he went back home, right? Do we know why? No, we don't. We don't have any indication why. Which missionary journey was this? I just said which one it was first. How far did John Mark make it before he went home?
As far as Perga.
As far as Perga. About how far was that into the journey? Not quite the first. They've gone from Seleucia, from Antioch, to Seleucia from Antioch. Then they went to Cyprus. So they sailed off into the island of Cyprus. They went to a couple places there. Went to Salamis and then to Paphos. Then to Perga and Pamphylia. And that's the break point. And the reason I kind of had this in here was up till this point, what you see in there is welcomely received, or there's a lot of objection? Which one of those two?
They were welcome.
Pretty welcomed at this particular point in there. In Cyprus, would there be a lot of Jews? Nope. Not many at all. Then from there, they go to Pisidian Antioch. And that's a different Antioch. It's in Pisidia. There was a lot of Antiochs because Antiochus was the name of most of the kings in the Seleucid Empire. And that's this region is the ex-Seleucid Empire. Antioch, then to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, and back to Perga, then to Attalia, and then finally back to Antioch. And this is the big Antioch. This is the huge city Antioch as opposed to Antioch of Pisidia, which is a small town. So what was the journey like before John Mark left and after? An extra set of hands, but what was it like at Lystra and Iconium and Derbe? What happened to Paul? Got stoned. Tried to kill him. They followed in both places. They wanted to kill him.
What we're doing is trying to say he left because of persecution.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what's in Paul's head?
About what?
John Mark left for some reason to go home, not because of persecution, but he left for some reason. But after that, it got hard. And John Mark was one of those, an extra set of hands. He was a helper, but he wasn't there. And I'm just wondering whether this colored some of Paul to say, when we really, really needed him, he wasn't there. Wasn't John Mark's fault? John Mark had no idea what was going to happen. And he went home for a reason. Now, Cyprus isn't that far away, and they were going to go further north. When you go into Lystra, Iconium, and Derbe, you go up into Turkey, which is pretty far north. And when you're in Cyprus, it's just sail across a little part of the Med, and you get over to the coast, and then you're right there by Jerusalem. I don't think the two had anything to do together, but I'm wondering, because Paul was so hard over about it, did that color part of Paul's thinking? You left me when I needed you. He didn't know. Possibly. Possibly. Okay. Now we're jumping to 15. So we're done with the first journey. We're into this, getting ready for the second. And some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, also with them also. So they're getting ready, and he says, "I want to go back and see all these churches we talked to the first time. How are they doing? Did it stick? You know? Or you know, we're going to go back and they're going to be back where they were before." So who wanted to bring somebody? This is easy. Barnabas, thank you. Paul wanted to go back on the visit. He wanted to take John Mark. What was the relationship between John Mark and Barnabas? Cousins. And that may have been part of it. Why else might he have said, "Let's take John Mark along"? This isn't hard. Well, yeah, he was there. He was there for the first one, assisting.
I see that just a little bit different. You know, I think he wanted to take him with him so that he could grow and become what he later became.
That's true. It may have been part of the growth, but part of it could have been growth. Part of it could have been, he was there for the first half of the first one. We ought to take him back. He ought to be interested too. I mean, he did plant seeds. He was right there by their sides planting seeds.
They were related.
They were related. And Barnabas' name means what?
Son of encouragement.
Son of encouragement. I don't think Paul means son of encouragement.
Paul's a hard hitter, man.
Huh?
Paul's a hard hitter.
He was, yeah. I kind of equate him to this phrase, no slack jack.
Yeah. You can't remember that story where he confronted Peter. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just I spoke with Peter about this. I confronted Peter to his face.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Man.
In our bad hacker, he says, "I got in his face."
Yeah.
You know. So, but Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work, the hard part of the work, when the work got really tough. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord, and he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Okay, we talked about this a little bit, about that one. Could have been that he just left us, and I hate a quitter. It could have been you left when things got really tough and that left a bad taste in my mouth. We don't know. But Paul had a big problem with John Mark at this particular time. There was a huge schism. I don't get to use the word a lot about it, but there was a huge schism between the two of them. How sharp was it? Broke them up. Broke up Barnabas and Paul.
Happens today in church. It's nothing to do with what happens in
It's been happening, yeah. When people's, they can't see the big, they can't, they're not focusing on the big picture. They're focusing on themselves. So they had to split up. There's a silver lining. There's two teams now, okay? Instead of just one, they now have two missionary teams going out to the Gentiles instead of just one.
You think God had a hand in that?
He may have. Or he may have used it as an opportunity. Otherwise, they could have just said, well, then we're just... Now, go back to what Bill was saying. A lot of people would say, well, then we're just not going to go at all. They didn't do that. No.
And so the important thing is that we can...
Really? Yeah, I can always agree.
That we can get past.
Yeah,
right? And still have a harmonious relationship.
Yep.
And,
you have to work through that conflict, if you will.
Well, I'm going to say something else while I say that later on.
Okay. Well, it's 15 minutes, so you don't have very much time. So... Then we jump ahead, because Acts, we're at the beginning of Acts, that's probably in around 40 AD, plus or minus 5 years, somewhere in that time frame at the beginning. Now we're around 60, 61 AD. So we're quite a few years later. This is to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and to the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is his opening that Paul has. Where is Paul when he writes this letter?
Prison.
Prison, okay. So that's the setting. He's in Roman jail. Now whether it's house arrest or whatever it is, we don't know, but he is in prison. It's his first imprisonment. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, meets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. So he's got a lot of people there with him in this first Roman imprisonment. That's a substantial one. He had one earlier that he said, hey, I'm a Roman citizen, you threw me in jail. I'm not talking about that one. This is his first one that was an extended amount of time. But what's Paul's plans? What's his future plans?
Come to Philemon.
Come to Philemon to visit. Okay. To be released from prison and to go visit. Who else had brothers and sisters been praying for someone who was in prison? Who did I talk about at the beginning of this lesson?
Peter.
Okay. Same thing. Peter and John, but Peter. Who is ministering to Paul while he's in prison at this time?
Onesimus.
Huh?
Onesimus.
In Philemon? That's the list. Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. You're talking about his second imprisonment with Onesimus, I believe. I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to that in a couple slides.
Mark's helping him.
So Mark is there by his side helping him, as are the other four people. And like I said, I get to talk about Demas later on. What does John Mark ministering to Paul show about both of them?
I guess Paul kind of got over his little schism or schism.
Paul got over it? I'm sorry?
They reconciled.
They reconciled.
He's a trusted brother now.
It's very closely trusted brother. They've both grown. Paul wasn't very forgiving. And John Mark wasn't as stick-to-it as much as certainly Paul was expecting. Okay,
well,
so I think they're both grown.
Because we know going to jail has a way of humbling you, and we know from other people in the Bible that they were put in jail to be humbled.
And, you know, I imagine Paul wasn't too kind when he was, as we use the words, trashing John Mark with Barnabas. And John Mark probably knew about it. So it says something about John Mark to say, I'm going to go minister to Paul while he's in prison. I'm going to go help him. And where was prison at?
Down in the basement.
It was down in the basement. Could have been. It could have been. What city?
Rome.
Rome. He was in prison in Rome. So John Mark left Jerusalem. He left home and went to stay with Paul. Both have grown, and they're not holding grudges. John Mark and Paul. Colossians. This is about, they think about a year or two from when Philemon was written, Colossians was written. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant, fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. So Onesimus was in the first imprisonment, not the second one. So if he wrote the letter to Philemon, and he was hoping to be released, and it was around 61 A.D., this is around 62 A.D., he's still waiting for God's prayer to be answered, isn't he? Because he's still in prison. He's still locked up. So who's ministering to Paul now while he's there in prison? John Mark's one of them. John Mark and Tychicus and Onesimus and Aristarchus. Interesting. Who's the only common one? John Mark. You've got a whole new crew that's changed out except for one guy. John Mark. That kid who didn't stick to it, no matter what, you know, no matter what, he's changed, hasn't he? He's grown.
Well, you can safely say they didn't get along before, and that might have caused a little bit of the splitting, but now they do.
Now they're very close. They're very, very close. Now jump over to Peter. Talk a little bit more about Peter. Started with Peter. That was the house he first went to. The book of 1 Peter was written a little bit later than Colossians, so I'm kind of taking it chronologically. Peter says, through Silvanus, our faithful brother, for so I regard him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that he is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends your greetings. And so does my son, Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace be to you, all who are in Christ.
So it sounds like Peter is the one that told that family about Christ in the first place, because he's calling him his son.
Yeah. But you can see the relationship has continued and grown between Peter and John Mark, hasn't it? Over the decades. When Peter first went to that house in Jerusalem, the first house he went to was Mary's, John Mark's mom's. And now he regards him as a son. I don't know whether Mary's passed away or whatever it is, but it kind of tells you how close he's gotten into the church, because now you've got not just one, but two apostles that he's got a very close relationship with, doesn't he?
Well, it says a lot of things. It says why he went to that house in the first place.
It does. It does. And it speaks to the saints that were there that were praying, that they recognized something probably more in Mary at that particular point than John Mark. But John Mark saw his mom. You know, that example that he saw was part of what, if you will, lit the fuse. It's part of what he continued on with with continuing to pursue. They think this book was written around 66, 67 AD because Nero killed Peter, or at least from what we know from the reports, Nero killed Peter. And that was around 69 AD or somewhere around that time, 69, 78, 68, 69 AD. So this was before Paul's, from what I read, second imprisonment, which was much more harsh than his first one. So how does Peter refer to John Mark?
Son.
Okay, close relationship. And what does that indicate?
That he came to Christ because of Peter, and it was pride Peter talked to his mom. That he came to Christ because of Peter.
Okay, came to Christ because of Peter. I think he came to Christ because of Mary.
Well, yeah.
And probably the word he heard spoken.
The whole situation led to Son.
Yeah, because Peter, the first one who stood up and talked about it, he came to God through probably the example set by his mother and the words he heard from Peter when Peter spoke and when Peter taught. But they have a close working relationship in Jerusalem that developed over the 15, 20 years before he started going out and helping in other areas. Don't have a lot more about what happened with John Mark until you get to Timothy. Timothy is taking place during the second imprisonment of Paul, the final one. Make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. But Tychus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he is vigorously opposed to our teachings. What's Paul not praying for? What was he praying for in the last one when he was sending out letters? To be released. And not praying for a release here.
Is Alexander mentioned in other places?
I'd have to look that up, Hank. I don't remember whether he is or not. So what's happening to Paul? He's in prison. But when he's sitting there, what'd you say?
He's still teaching.
He's still teaching.
Involved in their lives.
Okay. Now he's teaching from prison, so it's kind of tough, particularly in this particular one. And most of those people who are ministering him are just... Who's the only one with him right now?
Luke.
So what's the impact of Paul not having anybody to minister to him?
He's probably not having too much supplies because the cloak says he's probably getting a little cold. He needs something covered.
He's getting cold and he wants the cloak, or I want the cloak.
You know, I don't know what the prison was like. I visited London. How long had Paul been in prison? You know, it wasn't allowed, as it was in the first imprisonment, to have his own residence, but he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that his health is not as good because he's not getting the exercise, not getting the sunshine, fresh air.
Yeah, it was all be stagnant air.
His morale is not as good.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All those things, the prison, you take care of, you have somebody outside, but bring your food and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Your prison was there to lock you up. And if nobody fed you, you starved. If nobody ministered to you and you had wounds or something like that, you died.
And you got to remember, while you're sitting in jail, things are going to change around you.
Well, things are going to change. They were changing for the better from Paul's perspective because more and more people were being reached. But it was hard for him to reach out from prison, wasn't it? I mean, when he was in a residence, people could come and visit. He's down in a dungeon or he's down in somewhere where they've got him really secured away. The only way he can reach out and teach is through somebody ministering to him.
He didn't have email.
He didn't have any of that. Okay. Can't communicate, can't meet his basic necessities will not be met if there's not somebody there to minister to you. But who's the only person he asked for? John Mark. He asked for one person. That's a huge difference. And when they started out at the beginning of Paul's ministry, and now we're at the end of Paul's ministry. So how would you characterize John Mark as a worker for Christ?
I think at first he was a little spooked.
A little spooked? Okay.
But eventually he came back and turned into a strong one.
There's a lot of folks who I want to characterize that work in the background. They're not in the forefront. I'm teaching a class. Everybody sees me teaching class, okay? That's visible. But there's a lot of people who do stuff in the background. The people who make the communion up. The people who go and mow somebody's lawn. The people who go and take somebody around to their doctor's appointments and things like that. I want to call them the background people. John Mark was a background person in my mind. He went and took care of things, and he met the needs. He facilitated. He served. And he served quietly in the background. We got a lot of those people around here. Church doesn't work unless you got people like that. And that's the kind of Christian that John Mark was.
Well, God says that when he describes the church as a body. He says even though some parts are insignificant, they're more important.
Yep. And those parts of the body that are, what, less esteemed would be the background worker because people don't see it going on, should be extolled, should be lifted up. But those people don't want to be lifted up. Let me tell you, they want to work in the background and they're fine with it. And they're just happy as they can.
Well, some people don't like being noticed.
That's what I'm saying, is they don't want that spotlight. When they get that spotlight, you're not going to get a word out of them. They're just going to wait for that spotlight to just pass on to somebody else.
When you read about real heroes in war, they usually don't talk too much.
Yeah. I see John Mark as a whole lot like Barnabas was. Barnabas was always in the background.
Yeah.
But if truth be known, there's no telling how much good Barnabas did. And same thing with John
Mark. Same with John Mark. He did a tremendous... I mean, if you will, the guy who's running the crane, if he doesn't have an oiler, guess what? The crane quits working.
It would be interesting to read a history book about those minor people, what they did.
Mm-hmm.
So those were a good beginning.
Well, when you get there, you can ask John Mark. Say, so what else did you do?
Yeah.
Any other questions, comments? Doug's picking up next week. I don't think he has as much to work with as I do. Thank you.
Well, that's